Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all your favorite podcasting apps like Apple, Google, and blah, blah, blah. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board once again today. I am your host, Joey Owygen, or Paladino Joey. So, it is time to preview the National Hockey League season and, of course, your Minnesota Wild. We are back once again, and it is a wonderful feeling to have hockey back. I don't know. It feels like every year it's getting a little bit later. It's kind of like, okay, October 4th, right? They start on October 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. No, they start on the 13th. So it's like, you know what? I'm doing the freaking preview, okay? I'm doing the preview. Can't wait anymore. Gotta get going. Too excited and all that. And, of course, we're at the point with the lineups that we have a pretty good idea who's going to be in the lineups. And, of course, we'll talk about the two or three other guys that are bubble when it comes to the lineup. Me and Derek had a brief conversation before I started recording. Like, should I just go for it? Because I was planning on it. And it's like, wait a minute. No, the season doesn't start till, you know, the 13th of October. But, well, here we are on the 1st of October recording segment number one. I did already record segment number two. It was a preview segment of the National Hockey League. And there's no reason for me to change my predictions with that one. So, yeah, I'm not changing that, obviously. So here I am to actually talk about the team itself, the Minnesota Wild. And you may notice changes in the audio from one segment to another because I kind of like to move my laptop around at times, face it different directions, because one's looking out the window, the other one's watching the TV, maybe some hockey going on. So in this case, I'd want to look outside in this segment. So I'm just a weird guy. Let's get to where we need to be. Apologize for my rambling about this and that. Of course, again, it's been a fun, promising little preseason as the month of September just came to a close. Minnesota Wild 3-0 at this point that I'm recording this, of course, beating Colorado twice and the Dallas Stars once. Matt Boldy looks good in the brief time he's been out there. Marco Rossi looks like he's absolutely making the team. There's like no question about it. Several points, obviously. Matt Boldy, the two guys that have stood out the most are Matt Boldy and Tyson Jost. It's not Jost, it's Jost, it's Jost, it's Jost. But he's obviously having a very promising start to the preseason at the very least. And the line combinations, at least according to the daily face-off, they kind of tend to fluctuate. Of course, the main top line is what it is. Why change it right now? Ryan Hartman, Kirill Kaprizov, and Matt Zuccarello. And all the indications are Ryan Hartman's looking to continue where he left off. Doesn't feel like, he just had that little jump up year and he's going to be back to the Ryan Hartman scoring like, I don't know, like 30 points or no, 30 points a season or something. And, you know, he's a cute little third or fourth liner. No, I mean, maybe he is like a Dave Gagne. He's that beautiful success story that Dave Gagne was years ago and made us all feel like $1 million, at least us as North Star fans at the time. And it looks like Yahoo is down. That's great timing. Thanks, guys. Thanks, you. Thanks everyone at Yahoo for being down. Unless it's my internet. Okay, now it's back. I had everything ready, and then the doggone thing just kind of like says, no, Joey, you can't look at that. Just stay away. Can't touch this, right? Remember that song? Okay, here it is. You have the 3-2 victory over Colorado. I know it's a preseason game, but Kirill Kaprizov picked up where he left off. Ryan Hartman picked up where he left off. Marco Rossi. Looks like the Marco Rossi in the AHL in terms of production. he's not going to the AHL. No, there's like no chance. He looks absolutely great. And his attitude coming into the season was, I want family and all them to just kind of like stay away for now. I don't want any distractions whatsoever. It's time. Let's go. Like, they can maybe come by November, December-ish, Christmas season, whatever the heck. And Marco Rossi, again, gritty, solid, obviously playmaking, this and that. And again, Kaprizov, multi-points in his first game, but unfortunately was hit with a puck. But looks like he'll be fine. It's just precautionary. Let's not mess around. This is a guy that scored 108 points. The last guy to score 108 points for the Wild was nobody. Not even close. So nobody even came close to 90 in the past. What was it, 84 by Marian Gaborik, Eric Staal, guys like that. So, woo-hoo. Eric Staal had that crazy renaissance jump-up season when he came to Minnesota, and it was nice and all that. Beat Colorado again, 5-2. And again, I'll get back to the Lions again shortly. Brandon Duhaime was able to score first off. He's been sent down. Nick Patan, he's a guy who's still hanging around at the moment. And I'll talk about the transactions as well. Tyson Jost with a couple of goals in this game. Pretty freaking cool. Matt Boldy, again, it's a nice group. And Sam Steele, Boldy, and Jost were all playing together on the power play. And they connected both times. They're playing Sam Steele on the power play. All right. And again, it's a preseason game, so don't get too excited. Nick Patan also, again, scoring once. Nick Patan, first off, like I said, and Brandon Duhaime very early. Schuster is an exciting player. Well, in terms of his size, and he was productive with Tampa for a bit, and the next thing you know, he's kind of floating around. So we'll see what happens, but he's a beast of a man, and very, very possibly will be the seventh defenseman in Minnesota going forward. Kind of the opposite of Brad Hunt, right? Remember what Brad Hunt was? The little short guy who could score a little bit? The small short guy with a nice smile on his face? Not that Schuster isn't a nice guy, but he's like 6'7". Slightly different in size. Maybe about a foot taller. Just a little bit, you know, a little under a foot taller. So kind of cool. You got to see all three goalies and all that just in the preseason, including, Jesper Wallstedt. As now I'm going to try to say that correctly from here on out. I'm not going to go to Jasper Wallstedt Jesper Wallstedt. It's Jesper Wallstedt. That's the name, of course, going forward. It's come from the horse, you know. So there it is. There's no question going forward with that. I'm not going to go on and on about preseason games, but at the same time, it's encouraging. These are nice indicators that certain players are stepping on playing well. Sam Steele looks pretty good, actually. He's going to very, very, very likely be on the roster, of course. It'd be stunning if he was sent down for whatever reason. But, you know, obviously he came from the Anaheim Ducks in the offseason. I didn't even talk about him, actually, since the last episode, because obviously the last episode was, 2.5 months ago, back in the middle of July. So I'll get back to the transactions. Apologize if I'm coming in a little crazy, but I'm just excited to talk about hockey games again and to talk about guys like Marco Rossi, Killian Addison, Tyson Jost, who looks like he's taking that next step. I hope he is, and looks like there's a real shot of that. I still remember, was it a week ago? Who was talking? I think it was on, I can't remember if it was the Judd's Hockey Show. I think it was. It was Judd's Hockey Show. They were talking about, so who goes in to replace Greenway coming into the season. Of course, he's going to miss time to start off the season. It just came out immediately. Tyson Jost. That's what came out of my mouth. Like, I'm out cutting grass, listening to the podcast, and it just came out of my mouth right away. Tyson Jost. And it's like, yeah, that to me is the obvious choice. Let's see what he can do. And right now he is on the grief line. It is the, it's not a grief line. I don't know what you'd call it now. The Fett line, Foligno, Erickson, and Tyson? I don't know. It'd be something like that. I guess. Yeah, or Freak line? I don't know. That wouldn't work. So let's just call it the Fett line. No, let's just call it whatever it is. A really nice third potential second line. That could be something. Marco Rossi has been centering Frederick Goudreau, who has been moved to right wing, and Matt Boldy on the left wing, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful thing. Tyson Jost has actually played together as well with them at times, and it's been awesome. Sam Steele will center the fourth line with Connor DeWeer and Brandon Duhaime. These probably are the lineups going into the season, by the way. I already talked about Kirill at left, obviously Ryan Hartman, and then Matt Zuccarello at right wing. Defensive pairings, they've changed. Of course, and then right now, on the daily face-off, it looks like last year, Brodin and Dumba, Middleton and Spurgeon, Goligoski and Kalen Addison. Kalen Addison is the one now because, obviously, the Minnesota Wild moved on from Kulikov. So, again, there I go jumping ahead. Instead of talking about transactions, I'm talking about the roster. So, I apologize for that right out of the gate here. Just getting too excited. So, got to get caught up with the transactions here before we actually start getting into the actual preseason and such. To going into September, right away, guys invited to training camp. Ty Ronning is the son of Cliff Ronning, Turner Ottenberg, Thomas Milich, Benjamin Finkelstein. That's kind of Finkelstein, CJ Mott. Mike O'Leary, which is actually he used to be the pastor in my Sunday school many years ago. It's the same exact name anyway. Is there any relation? I have no idea. Tanner Kaspik. And, of course, Dmitry Kulikov was traded for future considerations to Anaheim. Sam Steele was signed as a free agent for 1 year. We'll look at the salary here in a second. Sammy Walker signed as a free agent, 2-year entry-level contract. Alexander Hovanov, there we go, was released as of the last show, which just, it's really sad. It's over for him right now. It looks like he's heading to Vancouver. Nope, he's still with the Wild. I'm getting him mixed up with Johansson. So we'll see what happens with Alexander Hovanov. Extremely sad and disappointing there. Again, since the last episode, Liam Ogren, signed a three-level entry-level contract. That didn't take long. That was basically the day of the last episode, July 16th. Mitchell Sheffy signed a one-year two-way contract. Nick Sweeney, one-year two-way contract. Again, Kulikov has been moved out. That's where you can make room for Addison. So, finally, Addison can be with the Minnesota Wild, more than likely. And he's earning it. He's not just, okay, Addison, we made room for you. Welcome aboard. No, he's actually performing as well. He looks like a different player, and that's really awesome. Since then, Kaden Benkier assigned to his junior club, Kamloops. Kyle Masters also assigned to Kamloops, WHL. Hunter Haight, who looked pretty damn good in the summer and in these games, also moving back to Barrie of the OHL. Cervek Petrovsky off to the OHL, you know, back to where the Owen Sound. David Spasic to my league, the QMJHL, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. David Spasic heading there. Thomas Milich released. Tanner Kaspik released. Mike O'Leary released. Ty Ronning released. That sucks. Because I know Army was very excited about him. But maybe he's still going to wind up with Iowa. We'll see. Benjamin Finkelstein released. Hunter Uddenbright released. CJ Mott released. Sam Hench is sent to minors. Michael Milne sent to the minors. He's, of course, Iowa. Hunter Jones, biggest shock ever, right? Sent to Iowa. I know. I like Hunter Jones, though. I don't mean to be harsh on him. Vladislav Firstov sent to Iowa. And Damien Giroux sent to Iowa. So, again, a couple more moves still yet to be made before things change. Of course, Zane McIntyre and Jesper Wallstedt are still actually on the Minnesota Wild at the moment, but they're going to be the two main goalies for Iowa. That's why when they talk about Hunter Jones, I think he might wind up in the other one, so the ECHL, pardon me. John Merrill, obviously out. Which again, I think that you can pencil in Schuster as the number seven. So he's going to be the number seven defense, and he's not going to get sent to Iowa. So I'm pretty confident about that. Sometimes you keep an extra forward because Greenway's out. Guys like Greenway, yeah, Greenway's out, so it might be Nick Batan, might be Mason Shaw sticking around, possibly as that, you know, that 13th forward, how things go. Of course, your goaltenders will be Marc-Andre Fleury and Philip Gustafson. We're talking about Gustafson on the last episode. He's the main backup. And obviously, if Jesper Wallstedt winds up with Minnesota, something catastrophic happened to one of the main goalies. Same with Zane McIntyre. Obviously, he's a guy that could fill in, though, like if it's a short-term injury for somebody. I think he's the guy that comes up to Minnesota and probably doesn't play, but you never know. One of those kind of things. He's a nice veteran, 30-year-old, but unfortunately didn't have a whole lot of success in the National Hockey League to date. So that's the situation there. Still got a bunch of, man, a lot of guys have like that cross next to their name. My goodness, man, how many injuries can there be? Jeez. Nick Paton. We'll see what happens with him. He was a second-round pick in 2013, but only 13 points is his career high with the Winnipeg Jets in 16-17. Other than that, it's kind of been an off-and-on battle with the AHL, NHL, quad A player, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll see. He's not that old. He was born in 95. Never know. But that's what he'd be, probably more of a fourth or fifth line guy, if you know what I mean. Mason Shaw, we'll see. It just might not be a match with him making the NHL, despite the fact he's got a lot of grit and he's actually super talented. But maybe that could make him an insanely talented fourth line player. So we'll see. And I'm sure he'd love the paycheck, even though the lack of ice time would be frustrating if you're stuck in the press box. So that's how that goes, unfortunately. Other than that, again, like I named the lines, I didn't actually officially get to the pairings because they have changed. They have, again, like that says, Brodin, Dumba, Middleton, Spurgeon, Goligoski, Addison. I think Goligoski, Addison is what it is for now. We'll see. Otherwise, Spurgeon has been paired with Jonas Brodin to have like an elite top pairing. And then you have Dumba and Middleton together, which is kind of cool. Maybe, and some people have even gone as far as to think about the idea of Addison and Middleton together, where you get the Mutt and Jeff, you know, the Mutt and Jeff deal, where obviously massive, massive defenseman with the much shorter skilled guy, which has happened many times in the past as well. So could be pretty cool. Again, Jacob Middleton did sign that 3-year contract. We did talk about that on the last episode. Kalen Addison will be on the Minnesota Wild. Marco Rossi will be on the Minnesota Wild. Matt Boldy, if there was any doubt. Of course he's going to be here. He was on the pace of a 70-point season last year. And, yeah, I mean, he was freaking awesome. And that's a freaking rookie, too. Like, a guy who just got to the National Hockey League is on pace for a 70-point season. That's how good he was, and he stayed good the whole season. And if he's paired with Rossi, I think there's something there. They certainly work together very well in Iowa. As I try not to cough to death, I deeply apologize. Thank God for the dump button there. Ooh, so apologize about that. Unfortunately, sometimes when me and Derek are recording, it's harder to cover up the cough, which sucks. But other than that, it's an awesome show with a lot of information coming from Derek. The guy is obviously one of the best, if not the best, guest I've had on this show. I mean, you know, yeah. So, there's nothing really on this roster that tells me they can't make the postseason, other than, you know, goaltending might be mediocre for Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe he has one more renaissance in him coming up. Obviously, it's Marc-Andre Fleury. He's had a wonderful career. He's been spectacular. This is saying COVID protocol, I guess. Okay, I mean, that's, I don't know. That's interesting. They're saying Gustafson, same thing. Wonderful. Okay, COVID this, COVID that. Zane McIntyre, COVID. No, I'm kidding. Let's not joke about that. I apologize. That just reeks of Omicron, where it spreads real easy. It's not nearly as severe. It's basically a cold with a little extra mustard in it, I guess. I don't know. And it spreads real easy like colds do. So viruses work. They get weaker but more contagious. Yeah. Anyhow, that's the end of my medical information on this podcast. But it's got the makings of a decent hockey team, I think. Absolutely. Damn good job, obviously, working with the salary cap, this and that. Fortunately, you have a Minnesota Wild club that has a prospect pool that's been built up to a point that you can do this. Guys like Marco Rossi aren't making $6, $7, $8, $9 million a year yet. We'll see. Marco Rossi might end up making an absolute fortune in his career, but he's not there yet, of course. Tyson Jost, unfortunately, goes into restricted free agent after this season, you know, that with arbitration eligible and all that crap. Matt Boldy is eligible for a contract extension. Will it be a bridge contract or will it be a major, major thing? Sam Steele, like I said, was just a one-year deal. Anyway, Connor DeWeer is still under team control next year at $800K, so all right. Brandon Duhaime, also arbitration eligible. I can't imagine a massive raise coming. He's only making $750. I know, only, right? But in the NHL circles, even in the NHL, it's still small. Matt Zuccarello, 2 years left before he's a UFA. No, before he's, you know, unrestricted free agent. Foligno, 2 years left. A 3.1 reasonable deal. Zuccarello, that $6 million is not looking nearly as ugly as it was about 3 years ago when he first got here, when his wrist injury wasn't fully recovered and needed another surgery to make his wrist function better. And my goodness, he was a completely different player. Ryan Hartman, still 2 years left at 1.7. I can relate, though. I mean, I think all of us can relate in terms of, like, you know, you're better than what you're making. Yeah, I think so. I think, well, most of us, depending on how much you actually work at your job. But that's between you and, yeah, you and your boss. Jonas Brodin, one of the better deals out there. It's not cheap. $6 million's a lot, but huge term and all that. I mean, the term is the term. You think, my goodness, that's like eternity, but it's Jonas Brodin. Obviously, he's one of the best defensemen, I think, out there. 29 years of age. Of course, Matt Dumba goes into unrestricted free agency. As we head into the offseason, there's a pretty good chance he gets traded around the trade deadline, regardless of who loves him and who doesn't. I think there's a pretty good chance he gets traded because, but then again, it just depends on how much they love each other, that kind of nonsense. Jacob Middleton, this could potentially be a really nice deal. 3 years, 2.45 for the next 3 years. Yep, up to 2025, the summer of 25. Kolakowski, two more freaking years at $2 million, but at least it ain't five. Pardon me. John Merrill, 1.2. Very cheap, but term that could go to a young guy and a roster spot that could go to a young guy. Wouldn't be surprised if this is John Merrill's last season in Minnesota whatsoever. If you can get rid of Kulikov, whose salary was about twice as much, you can get rid of John Merrill too. It's not that expensive. He's a nice veteran. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to destroy you or anything or ruin your team. And maybe he ends up being the seventh guy. And then, you know, youngster du jour ends up taking over, that kind of thing. You know, all the young guys like, pardon me now, this is all. Guys like Carson Lambos, Jack Pert. I mean, guys like that are going to be coming up. Ryan O'Rourke is probably really close. He's older than Lambos and Pert. Damon Hunt. Those two guys, I think, are very close to being in the National Hockey League. I think they suit up for the Minnesota Wild next year, if not at some point this year. At least one of them for sure. Damon Hunt, Ryan O'Rourke. They're 2020 draft picks. I still remember the day all those guys were drafted. It was a beautiful, gorgeous October afternoon. It was one of the most pretty days ever. I was out wandering around while watching it and listening to the commentary afterward. Oh, just, oh, I really enjoyed that. Oh, man. But, yep, you still got, you know, Kyle Masters, he's probably a dark horse at this point, but he did step up pretty nicely in the prospect camp. People were thinking, he's taking some steps forward. Nate Benoit, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen with him. Jack Pert and Lambeau still are legit. Spacek, we'll see. Ryan Healy has some talent. Only two defensemen taken in this draft because, well, there's like a ton of them. There's like almost too many right now. And, of course, Brodin, Spurgeon are signed for a long, long time. Dumba is not, but maybe he will be in the next few months. Just might happen. And so we'll see. We'll see how things go. If he makes a silly statement like Carlos Correa. Well, it wasn't as silly. Carlos Correa is in a little better standing than Matt Dumba. But, oh, if you want something, you have to go get it. You know, like at the store or whatever, like a very expensive bike or something. I don't know. Where, like, Carlos Correa is going to be real expensive. Yeah, thanks, Carlos. So, translation, Carlos Correa will opt out of his 3-year contract that was an opt out after 1 year. Isn't that cute when they do that? It's a 3-year deal. It's 3 years, right? It's three. No, it's not, actually. It's really not. First off, yeah, I don't know. He still feels like a dark horse. Nikita Nesterenko is still in college, like we said. Philip Lindbergh, well, like you already knew. Marshall Warren, still in college. They're going for, yeah, 2019. I can't believe how long ago that was already. Seems like these guys just got in the system. Yep. So they're just going. Nikita Nesterenko is going into his junior year. That's what I thought. Yeah, because he was with the Chilliwack Chiefs at the beginning. He was, but I don't know if he's going to go for senior, where Marshall Warren will be in his senior year. He's another defenseman that could jump up. He's certainly got skill. Smaller guy with a lot of skill. So maybe he replaces Dumba. I don't know. Dumba's not big, but he's bigger than Marshall Warren. Beckman, they keep saying he's stepped up a bit, but chances are he's going to wind up in Iowa again. So Beckman's still on the Minnesota Wild roster. He's kind of the almost forgotten guy at the moment because of, you know, the dazzling power, the dazzling ability of Marco Rossi. You're thinking, yeah, he's kind of one of the most exciting players with Minnesota during this preseason. Where Adam Beckman showed signs, but he's not standing out that much. It's not like, whoa, Adam Beckman, holy crap. He's really ready to play. Where, I don't know, Beckman, maybe he's going to be like a superstar in the AHL and might end up getting to the NHL very soon, but maybe he's just going to have to dominate the AHL for a year or half a year or something at this stage. Luckily, still super duper young. Would still be a college player, pardon me, if he went to college, this and that, but nothing wrong with that. 21 years of age still at this stage. Will turn 22 until May 10th, so that's the good news. He's still got plenty of time to develop, so go get him, Adam Beckman. Maybe he will dominate the AHL, because he really didn't last year. He's about a half a point guy, like literally half a point a game. 68 games, 34 points. Pretty simple math, eh? And again, had that nice little assist from behind the net very early last season when he was on the Minnesota Wild roster, but most of us knew there was a pretty good chance he'd be back in Iowa within a few, you know, like within a week or so, and that's exactly what took place. So it's all kind of a wait and see with a lot of these guys. Really looking forward to what they can do. Danila Yurov, Ogren, Hunter Haight, people are dazzled with his ability, so I can't wait to see what he can do, at least getting to Iowa and such. Coming up next season, I believe, he'll be Iowa eligible, or maybe not. Doesn't turn 19 until April 4th. Dang, Hunter. Maybe he'll make the NHL outright next year. Never know. But dang, he's young. Holy crud. He didn't turn 18 until April 4th. And he had 41 points in the OHL as a 17-year-old. I kept talking about that back in the spring when I did the draft review. And it's just, you just can't believe it. So you just can't believe how much he can do at such a young age, and people are very intrigued. Let's not forget, he's the 47th overall pick in the draft. It's not like he was taken in the sixth round here. So I kept thinking, Hunter Haight, yeah, he's probably fourth, fifth round pick. Maybe he'll be that nice guy who jumps up. No, that's more like Ryan Healy, fourth round pick. We'll see. You know, he's got some, certainly got some ability and did surprise some people. So could be an awesome draft yet again with Judd Brackett and, of course, Bill Guerin heading the franchise. Player personnel and all that. It's a promising season. Promising, but not overly promising. I'm not predicting any Stanley Cup run or anything. I think this team could get to the second round, but we all know how we feel about that. I think there's a lot of hungry players on this roster that's sick and tired of the first round exits, this and that. They could make it to the second round, partially because the youth. Sometimes a youth movement on a team could push you forward. I mean, look at the 1981 North Stars, not 91. That team also had a lot of youth, but it had a lot of wily veterans as well that had went on playoff runs in the past. Guys like Brian Propp and such that lost the Stanley Cup twice with Philadelphia and lost the Stanley Cup with the North Stars and never hoisted the cup. Oh, Brian. Every time I think about guys like that played their heart out and went to the finals more than once and never brought it home, God. I feel bad for him. A lot of great Philadelphia Flyer players that were on teams that lost the Stanley Cup final. I mean, they won two Stanley Cups of that Broad Street Bullies team in the mid-70s, and then they went to the final, like, I don't know, like eight times since, and they lost them all. It's just kind of sad, you know? So, but to get to the point, as I babble off into la-la land as much as I do, the 81 North Star team was filled with youth. Filled. Dino Cicerelli, Neil Broughton, Bobby Smith was actually young at one point. Yes, he was actually a young guy once. Yeah, I'm just teasing. The goalie was 18 years of age, wasn't he? He was super young. Yeah, I mean, he had a goalie that was like not even 20 years old yet. And they went all the way to the Cup Final because the youth was so talented and they were so hungry. And it was a beautiful thing. They went so far. But then, obviously, ran into a buzzsaw called the New York Islanders, who were on their way to winning the second of four straight Stanley Cups. So, that's kind of how that went. They beat a Calgary team that was gritty and tough with Willie Plett, but ultimately did not win. They did not win the cup. The North Stars did not win the cup. Calgary Flames, that was their first Campbell Conference final, and they got beat by the North Stars of all teams. Kind of cool to think the North Stars actually beat Calgary in a playoff series, just 2 years since moving to Canada from becoming the Atlanta Flames years before, about 10 years earlier, in that case, the early 70s. Cool franchise, cool logo and all that. But maybe this youth movement, with the point now, is that trying to make it somehow, some way. Matt Boldy, Marco Rossi, Kirill Kaprizov still counts as a youth movement because it's only his third year. Tyson Jost, Kalen Addison. There isn't that much youth, but it's more than it's more than the last couple of years. And you might see some more youth on this team going forward. Hungry guys like Sam Steele that might want to prove something. Again, like I said, Rossi, guys like that. Other guys like Hartman, you know, he's relatively young. But, you know, Zuccarello's been to a cup final. Kaprizov, all of them, they're so hungry and frustrated. Foligno, Eriksson Ek, who always plays well in the playoffs. One of the few Wild players who's been awesome in the postseason. The Dumbas, the Brodins, the Spurgeons, how they've lost in the playoffs in the first round. And they're like, you know what? F this. We need to push forward. Get something going. You know, so the hunger of the youth and the hunger of the veterans might be a good combination that this team may overachieve once the postseason comes around. Somebody like Kaprizov might dazzle even more so, and it could be contagious, hopefully, to other players on this team. Alex Goligoski, I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be counted on with this club. Not that he's complete crap, and he was actually good for half of the season last year, but how quickly he dropped off and how much he dropped off in the second half was disappointing, but we'll see. The good news is there's enough youth movement coming forward in the next 2 years and such that this cap hit won't be as painful as it could have been. That's the good news. It's not like, well, we're going to probably lose Kaprizov because of it, so what the hell? I guess we get to start over. Woohoo! Or we might lose Boldy because we can't sign him for $70 million, you know? That kind of thing. So I think there's hope going forward this season. Right now, I'm predicting the Minnesota Wild to finish in third place in the division. So we will be counted as a division leader, somewhere around 100 points, 101 points, not like last year where we got to 113, but closer to 100, 103, 104, something like that. But I do believe the Minnesota Wild make the playoffs as a third team, well, third division leader in the Central Division, and ultimately we'll have to wait and see what happens after that. But I think Minnesota Wild can overachieve. And when the Minnesota Wild are the road team, sometimes they pull off something. Whenever we're favored, we find a way to blow it one way or another. We are winless. Winless. And I've talked about this 50,000 times already on the podcast. The Minnesota Wild have been winless thus far when it comes to having home ice advantage in a playoff series, which is freaking ridiculous. It just goes on and on. Again, when the Wild won the division versus Colorado, lost in six. I'll try to make it super quick. The Wild at home ice advantage versus the St. Louis Blues, lost in five. It's ridiculous. Home ice advantage with the Anaheim Ducks in the Western Conference Final, lost in four. Ridiculous. Home ice advantage against St. Louis again, lost in six. So that's a lot of home ice advantage series that the Minnesota Wild have not won. It's ridiculous. So maybe you overcome that. Maybe the Wild do finish in second and have home ice advantage in the first round. But one way or another, I see the Wild somehow overcoming and getting to the second round this year. And possibly as the youth movement gets that extra year in their belt and that getting that extra step forward, now, next year, maybe the Minnesota Wild can get to the conference final and see what happens. Something spectacular, maybe. So we hope. Maybe that's just wishful thinking, but what the hell? Why not? Again, Jesper Wallstedt will be coming up. That's a big help. Carson Lambos, Jesper Wallstedt will be coming up by next year or the year after, and it could be something very special going forward. Carson Lambos might end up being an elite defenseman. You never know. Maybe he'll at least be a decent, you know, second pairing guy at the very least. Damon Hunt. We'll see what happens. Other guys like Hunter Haight might shock the world. So that's the hope, again, going forward with this team, with the salary cap situation and the salary cap stress that's going to be hanging around for a few more years, that things will get better and better. Summer of 25 is when the salary cap stress will be mostly gone. There'll be a few more years remaining of 833.5 per player, the Parisi Suter deal, $1.6 million. Six sixes, that's goofy, going forward. All the way up to the summer of 2028, it'll be affected. But at least the 14.7 will be gone. This year is 12.7. So it's $2 million worse next year. That could be, let's trade Alex Goligoski for future considerations. And there you go. There's your $2 million difference. Well, there you go. There you go. Welcome up, Carson Lambos. Well, it won't be $2 million difference, but it'll be less. Yeah, maybe you trade away John Merrill for future considerations, and that'll help make up the difference. Huh? What do you think of that? Future considerations, right? Certain guys, it doesn't kill me if you trade him away for future considerations or a seventh-round pick or something. As long as you free up the cap space, and, well, you know, maybe they get a nice little veteran leader in the locker room, and bada bing, bada boom. You know, everybody's happy, kind of, with that said. Unfortunately, Philip Gustafson also arbitration ineligible in the offseason. But welcome to the NHL, folks. Welcome to the National Hockey League. You're going to be dealing with that every year. And sometimes it's going to be really important players. Possibly Tyson Jost might be that. Possibly Matt Boldy might be that. Sam Steele probably won't be that important, but still something. And Brennan Duhame, depending on how you feel about him. He's had some nice moments, and sometimes, oof-da. Sometimes the puck's going the other way, and he's on the ice, you know, like sliding around. It's a wonderful feeling, right? But again, welcome to the NHL. Nobody's perfect, not even the good ones at times. With that said, again, a third place finish for the Minnesota Wild. I did want to talk about the other guys a teeny tiny bit. I did talk about Nick Batton already. I was almost about ready to sign off, but I didn't even talk about Suster. Most of you know him probably more about him than some other people. He's from Czechoslovakia. I guess we call it Czechia now. I'm surprised it says Czechoslovakia. Didn't they split up like after World War II? Or am I crazy? Okay, well, let's call it Czechia. Pardon me. He is a veteran. He is turning 32 already on November 29th. Had some really nice seasons with Tampa. Was never great, but was solid. Was a gritty, solid player. Went to the Stanley Cup Final in 15. Did not play on a Stanley Cup champion team. Actually, no, he did not. He was on Tampa last year and was traded to the Ducks. He was on Anaheim and then Tampa and Anaheim. So they kind of, he was on Anaheim in two different stints. But he played 80 games with the 16-17 Tampa Bay Lightning with 14 points. 77 games in 15-16 with 21. Again, the Stanley Cup final year, where they lost to the frickin' Blackhawks, 72 games and 13 points. So, obviously more of a physical, tough defenseman. He was undrafted, 6'7", 217. So, not a ton of size to go along with the height, but certainly has the reach and the ability, and he is a tougher player, no doubt about it. And a nice veteran, and he could be that seventh defenseman that people like. He's a good guy as well. So, I think he will be the seventh defenseman for Minnesota, most likely for now. And in the next couple of years, we'll be seeing some of those exciting prospects come up. We'll see some changes here and there, I'm sure. Maybe we keep Matt Dumba until he's 55 years old. I don't know. But maybe Matt Dumba's gone in the next couple months. It's all just a wait-and-see type of thing, and we'll be talking about it right here on Brave the Wild. With that, we'll take a quick break, and you can listen to that preview of the National Hockey League and hear who I think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Back here on Brave the Wild, segment number two of the season preview for 2022-2023, getting into the National Hockey League's part of it and predictions on how things will go, who will win the Stanley Cup and all that. This year have the same big cheat sheet again called the Hockey News Yearbook 2022-2023 edition. Really happy to have that. going to look at the top 50 like I did last year, because I kind of listened back to last year's season preview before I got into this one, because why the heck not, just to kind of see how I did. And I was like, you know, I actually kind of liked how I did that. Both the Colorado Avalanche and Edmonton Oilers have two players in the top five. Connor McDavid, number one. Auston Matthews, he's the only non, he's a Toronto Maple Leaf. Cale Makar, number three, defenseman, of course. Number three in the entire league. What do you think of that? Leon Draisaitl, number four. And Nathan MacKinnon, number five. The day Cale Makar laced him up for the Colorado Avalanche, you just knew it was coming. You know they were going to win a Stanley Cup. And when I predicted last year the Colorado Avalanche would win the Stanley Cup in the preview, I was actually right. I predicted they'd win. I predicted them going up against the New York Islanders, which was way off. So it's funny, I predict the champion, and I predicted a team going to Game 7 against Colorado to lose that didn't even make the postseason. In fact, they didn't even come close. Johnny Gaudreau, number 6. Vasilevskiy, number 7. And you can keep going for a little while. Victor Hedman makes the top 10. Barkov is still with Florida. He is number 11. Kirill the Thrill is for real. He's number 12. Kirill Kaprizov having 108 points last year. Number 12 in all of the National Hockey League. Really cool. Jonathan Huberdeau, the new Calgary Flames player. We'll talk about them a bit, I'm sure, in this preview. He's number 21. Sidney Crosby is now down to 20. Last year he was 10th. Now he's 20th. So I can't imagine Scott, State of Hoppy of the Soda Pot, is all too happy about that. Of course, Pittsburgh Penguins and Minnesota Wild fan. Matthew Tkachuk of Florida is number 16, so actually higher than Jonathan Huberdeau. But the Calgary Flames are definitely built to win now, with the coach, the goalie, and the star players all kind of being veterans. They're going for it, and they have a chance. We'll be talking about that shortly. Minnesota Wild, just checking for the heck of it, just to make sure. Yep, Nazem Kadri, at the time that this publication was written, had not signed to the team. It was right about the next week or so we wound up with the Calgary Flames. Calgary has three players in the top 50 at the very least. Jacob Markstrom, number 25. Again, Kadri of the Flames, now of the Flames, number 45, formerly of the Colorado Avalanche, winning the Stanley Cup, of course. Landeskog and Jonathan Devon Taves, 47 and 48, respectively. Jack Eichel's 50th? Jack Eichel's 50th, and you trade the whole farm for the 50th best player, at least according to this. And of course, he had a huge drop in value with the way things had dropped off. Obviously he missed a ton of time and didn't play very, very well with with Vegas last year. Mark Stone, of course, dropped off, missing most of the year last year as well, 44th. We'll see if Vegas can reemerge and make the postseason. We'll see. Alex Ovechkin's all the way down to 28th now. A lot of these established studs dropping way the heck down. Patrick Kane all the way down to 31st. Remember when he was like in the top five every year? Remember those days? Who's that guy again? Yeah, really. Vladimir Tarasenko at times would barely make the 50. He's 42nd, so he's in respectable territory. The Wild have one player in the top 50, and that is number 12, Kirill Kaprizov, pardon me. This thing has the Minnesota Wild finishing third in the Central Division. This, again, hockey news. 2022-2023 predictions. Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay Lightning remaining in first, Toronto second. This is in the Atlantic Division, Florida third, Ottawa fourth, blah, 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 blah. So that's always nice. Minnesota Wild should make the postseason, of course, because they'll be in third. And then, of course, the wild cards, it always kind of, we'll have to wait and see how things turn out. They have Edmonton finishing in first place in the Pacific Division. Well, they played well against Calgary when it mattered in the second round. I mean, Calgary just cannot get past the second round. Vegas started hitting a wall after they had their great cup final run. They would always lose in the Western Finals, it seemed like. And then the one year they choked against the Sharks very early when it looked like they were extremely promising. Gerald Gallant the next year was let go, unfortunately, and now he's the New York Rangers head coach. New York Rangers, I had them missing the playoffs last year. Whew, boy, that was off. I was off. I mean, it could have been the Rangers and the Islanders. Switch them up. Carolina Hurricanes, number one in the Met Division, at least according to this, and I think so. I think there's a strong, strong possibility. Looks like this thing has the Predators and the LA Kings being the wild card clubs. So that's your eight going in. Ottawa Senators, they have them finishing fourth but not making the playoffs. The Columbus Blue Jackets and New York Islanders making it. I think so. I agree with the Islanders. They have the notables here. They have Washington missing the playoffs. Boston Bruins missing the playoffs and actually in fifth place. Interesting. Very interesting. Montreal, where they belong right now, last place. Philadelphia, I picked to make the playoffs last year over the Penguins. Yeah. I don't think Hoppy's going to like that one. Well, it's over. It's over. Philadelphia's done. We'll see, though. Maybe John Tortorella has a little bit of a maybe there's a little bit of a sugar high. The shelf life, Philadelphia is respectable, and they get the A seed. But I doubt it. The way Chuck Fletcher and all them have basically blown that team to bits. I don't know. Should have kept the current the now current Pittsburgh GM in Philadelphia. Should have kept him there. Yeah. Ron Hextall would have been fine. He was doing a good job. That's when Philadelphia jumped up. And, oh, Fletcher's a genius. No, he's not. He just walked in the door. I mean, the team that was on the ice at the time was Ron Hextall's, and they were doing really well and were looking real promising. Not long after that, things then did drop off. Hextall's not a perfect GM or anything, and going to Pittsburgh almost was kind of like, well, at least it's a head man job, but it's for a team that's probably not trending in the right direction. Getting a little old there. Getting a little old. Don't tell anyone I said that now. That's just terrible that I would say that. I'm surprised, though. Edmonton over Calgary in the Pacific Division? Are you sure about that? Vegas, they do have them making the playoffs again. I'm not completely surprised. If they can stay healthy, you know, if Stone comes back healthy, ready to go, Jack Eichel stays healthy, other pieces. It's a strange team. The Vegas Golden Knights are a strange team. I'm going to talk about Calgary for a minute, though. I think there's a really good chance they get to the Western Final this time, and it would be about bleeping time they did. You got, again, Jonathan Huberdeau is now on the left wing. Elias Lindholm's the main center. Tyler Toffoli had a wonderful season, but now you got to add Nazem Kadri to the group as well. Unfortunately, he's not on this depth chart, but he will be there, and he's got to, you know, obviously there's really something there. Milan Lucic, one of those valuable captain kind of guys, even though he's not the captain. Uyghur's the best defenseman on the roster for Calgary. There's a pretty good chance they got something going. Chris Tanev has had an oft-injured, unfortunately. And Jacob Markstrom was an awesome goalie, but for some reason couldn't stop the puck for anything versus the Edmonton Oilers. It was weird. Like, Calgary's got 9 goals now, and, okay, Edmonton's got 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's great. Or you can stop anything now, Jacob. That'd be great. You're, like, the best goalie in the league all season. And then it's like he's giving up 4, 5, 6 goals a game in the playoffs, particularly against the Edmonton Oilers. Even against Dallas, it was a little crazy. But, yeah, that was a really crazy series as well. I mean, it took Calgary basically stopping or, you know, shooting the puck, pardon me, like 80 times versus the Dallas Stars to finally win that freaking series. That's what it took. Like 80 shots. Like, really, man? Is that for real? And that was in one game, by the way, game 7. Dallas isn't that good. They're not that good. They're not the Islanders' defense 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they were like insane and they skated to a 1-0 loss in game 7 in Tampa, which was really sad. I mean, I felt bad for them. As Tampa can adjust, they were like chameleons and such. Tampa should always be a threat, but I'm not so sure they're going to go to any cup finals again this year. I think they're done going to the finals for a little bit. Maybe they'll, yep, they're done going to the cup finals now. I can't imagine they're going to win the 4th consecutive, let's just say Prince of Wales Conference, or Eastern Conference, but Prince of Wales, you know, yeah. Because one of the years it was kind of like a mix with Tampa and Montreal. Kind of an easy pick to win the cup there between Tampa and Montreal. But let's go back where we need to be. Calgary should definitely be a factor. Colorado is what they are. They are, you know, there's a really strong possibility they go back and win it again. I don't even know why I'm going to the West first, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of at the mercy of how things are because it's all alphabetical. But, yep, I don't see Tampa going back to the conference final. I think New York Rangers will be back in the conference final. Very strong possibility. They might even get to the Cup at the end of the day. Colorado, obviously, I think they're very much a Cup contender. Montreal is not even close. New York Rangers, yep. There's a real chance they could go to the final this year, but there's just one team I think is a little better, and the wonderful additions they've made. Let's look at New York really quick. First, Chris Kreider, of course. Zibanejad, obviously a fantastic player. Zibanejad, Kaapo Kakko. Kaapo Kakko has been kind of slow out of the gate, no doubt about it, as has been Lafreniere, but we'll see. Jacob Trouba was a nice addition years ago. Adam Fox is considered one of the best defensemen in the league. Ryan Lindgren, his former Gopher, has had some moments. Igor Shesterkin has been insane. Obviously loved what he was able to do. Yaroslav Halak has been added, veteran backup goalie. Luis Domingue would be a third stringer possibility. Obviously a wonderful group of players. Ryan Reeves is on the roster as well. considered kind of like one of those fringe up and down type of guys, obviously late in his career and such. But he'll see minutes, he'll see ice, but at the same time he'll see the press box as well, depending on the matchups and such. So the New York Rangers should very much be in the mix. I kind of think they're going to lose the conference final again, though, because there's one more team that I have a feeling is going to go to the Stanley Cup final and win, possibly win the whole thing this year. Pardon me. Carolina Hurricanes, obviously, added some wonderful players. Max Pacioretty has had, obviously, a wonderful career. The major addition was Brent Burns. He's getting older and all that, but a phenomenal defenseman. I mean, that's really aiming high. You have a really nice goaltender in Frederik Anderson, Sebastian Aho, Svechnikov, I actually said it correctly, woohoo, Teravinen, obviously phenomenal, obviously great player. Seth Jarvis was in the draft years ago, veteran Jordan Staal, not much of a offensive option, but he's still brings veteran leadership and such. It's an awesome team. Carolina Hurricanes need to just stay freaking healthy and put the pieces together and get it done. And I think they can do it. I think they can beat Tampa. I think they can beat the New York Rangers. And I think they are the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference. Carolina Hurricanes could and should win the Eastern Conference and finally represent the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Final again for the first time since 2006. But, you know, all these years later, I think they're finally going to get back again. What would it be, a 17-year anniversary by the time they get back, to think they won the Stanley Cup before? And it was a really nice team, and the head coach was the captain of that club. Nino Niederreiter is no longer there. They just kind of said adios amigo because he wanted too much money, basically. Max Pacioretty, welcome on board, buddy. And that's kind of how that went. It's an awesome, awesome team. Jacob Slavin, Brent Burns, obviously. Brett Pesci. Brady Sky, just awesome. Awesome team. Jake Gardner. Yeah. I mean, I think they win the Eastern Conference at the very least. This publication has Carolina beating Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Final. Well, I think they get to the Stanley Cup Final, possibly against Calgary or Colorado. I think Calgary and Colorado are your Western Conference Final. Minnesota Wild, is it another one and done? It kind of looks like it. We'll be playing the St. Louis Blues again. This time the Blues, at least I believe this is how this would shape up. We'll be playing the Blues again, this time with the Blues with home ice advantage. Though, okay, maybe if the Blues have home ice advantage, the Wild take it's been the underdog every single time in that series. Every single time. Just like when the Wild played the Colorado Avalanche, the underdog won every single time. Three playoff series, going back to 03, you beat the Colorado Avalanche in Game 7, being a heavy underdog. You go on the road and win in Game 7, great overtime, you know, historic goal. Everybody remembers, you know, Brunette with a backhand, he scores. Minnesota has upset the Colorado Avalanche. And then there's Niederreiter, scores, you know, and all that. It beats Colorado. When we were heavy underdogs again years later with the McKinnon-Landeskog crew before Cale Makar got there. Yeah, before Cale Makar got there. Uh-huh. That's right. With Cale Makar, good luck to you, buddy. It's just so complete. It's such a complete team. But the underdog won every time. The Minnesota Wild won the division. Colorado Avalanche were, what, like a sixth seed in the Western Conference? And the Avalanche beat us in six games. And you could just kind of tell the whole time the Avalanche just kind of, they just kind of knew what they were doing and got the job done. It was a veteran group of players. Nothing really special about them. Jose Theodore was the goalie, and he did phenomenal. It was one of his best series as a goaltender. I remember him back as a Montreal Canadien years earlier and such. Was a pretty good goalie, but had become a nice, solid kind of starter backup. And just a few years later, he was the backup goalie for Minnesota and was awesome, but only for a season, unfortunately. And it was one of those worthless years where the Wild didn't make the playoffs. It was that in-between time, back when I started podcasting, Brave the Wild, and the Wild weren't a playoff team anymore, and the numbers were like anywhere from like 200 to 300 downloads a show. Like 300 was like, yes, now we're talking. 150. I mean, that's going back in time, and that's pretty low. Not that I'm making bajillions, not that I have bajillions of listeners, but those of you that do listen, thank you so very much, and God bless every one of you. Again, this is Carolina beating Edmonton. They don't even have conference finals or anything, but obviously that would mean Edmonton would be in the conference finals with, say, Colorado or Calgary or something, or the Blues or the Wild or Bob. You get the idea. It's the same old thing, right? Duh. I do think Colorado will be in the West Finals. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. There's a really, really, really strong possibility Colorado just simply goes back-to-back, like Tampa Bay. A really strong possibility. How could you pick against the Colorado Avalanche, really, ultimately, when you look at their team and what they've done? It's been an amazing... It's an amazing group of players that are going to win multiple Stanley Cups, whether we like it or not. The odds of Colorado just being a one-and-done for a championship, pretty slim. I mean, they could easily be like Pittsburgh, just win two cups here, maybe. Or maybe they end up being like Pittsburgh in a different way, where they win the one, and then it's, what, how many years later? Like 7 years later, then they win two in a row, and then they stay competitive the whole time, most of the way, as long as they stay healthy. And then it gets interesting. Their goaltender situation is kind of back where it was last year, in a sense, where Darcy Kuemper had established himself with the Arizona Coyotes. But again, still, with that kind of team in front of you, to be that good, it's not bad. And I have nothing against Arizona. It's just they weren't that good. They had some okay players. Now you're looking at Georgiev, who's the backup goalie for Shishkin, and other veterans going all the way back to King Henry and such in New York. Lundqvist, of course. And you have Francouz, Jonas Johansson. I don't know. It's the goaltending situation kind of is what it is. Brad Hunt is a member of the Colorado Avalanche now. Interesting. So, again, minor additions. Lucas Sedlak. All right, he would be a fifth left winger. That's great. Kel McCarr, Devin Taves. I mean, it's just insane. Insane group of players. Sam Girard, former Ranger. Could go on forever. McKinnon, Newhook. Newhook, obviously, you know. Just, you know, when you see these young star players wind up with Colorado, and it's like, oh, great. Look, when you look at the rest of the roster they already had, and then they get these great prospects like Kel McCarr, and it's just like, oh, no. No, stop it. Please. Please, Lord, no. No more. No more. Oh, Lafreniere. Okay, I'm just going to... Yeah, Lafreniere, huh? Yeah. How many points is he going to have? No, maybe the Rangers do get to the Cup Final. I would not be surprised if Carolina, though, ends up winning the Stanley Cup. I'm kind of leaning towards Carolina. I'm going back and forth. I mean, I think any of these four teams could win the Stanley Cup. Everyone else underneath, I think it's slim to no chance of winning, unfortunately. That includes the Minnesota Wild right now. Of course, we're going into the, you know, the cap crunch. It's wonderful and such. The Minnesota Wild will be very competitive. Maybe we go on some kind of crazy run. But I'm very skeptical of the possibility of the Wild bringing home a Stanley Cup, at least right now. I think another prospect or two needs to really emerge to, you know, join the fray and such, particularly defensemen and offensemen. I mean, luckily Minnesota has wonderful defensemen in the system. Lambos and such, we can go on forever about that. Of course, talking about that in segment number one and beyond into the fan interaction, we'll probably talk about that there as well. We're not quite there yet, as you know. But I don't want to pick Colorado to win again. Sometimes it's like you got the Stanley Cup. That doesn't mean you're not going to stay hungry, but it might mean that somebody else is going to be slightly hungrier. I think Carolina is the hungriest team right now. Calgary should be, but how can I trust Calgary to go all the way to the Stanley Cup and winning it? I kind of doubt it. I think you're going to have an epic final. Epic. And it's going to be better than my... hopefully this is a better prediction than it was last year. Because the New York Islanders were always on the cusp. They were just right there, just like an inch away from getting to the Cup Final and possibly winning. Very strong possibility against Montreal. You don't think the New York Islanders would have beat the Montreal Canadiens if they could have freaking got past Tampa, maybe tie it up and have some kind of a lucky bounce, as they call it, and win in overtime versus Tampa in Game 7? You don't think the Islanders would have beaten the Montreal Canadiens? I think they would have pretty easily, probably in five games or maybe six tops. But Colorado and Carolina, Colorado. That's going to be your Stanley Cup final. Carolina winning it in six or seven. It'll be long. It'll be intense. Carolina just looks like a complete team. Both of these are the top-heavy clubs, but they're complete, generally speaking. Both of them have great defensemen. Both of them have incredible top sixes. Carolina has the better goaltender at the end of the day. And Colorado won the cup last year. Carolina is hungry and starving and all that cute stuff. They have a great coach and obviously former great player, leader, all that good stuff. Carolina wins the Stanley Cup this year over the Colorado Avalanche. And the next year, don't be surprised if the Avalanche are right back in the final again and win it again. But we'll see. Maybe they'll rematch with Tampa again. I don't know. I kind of think Tampa's done going to the final. 3 years in a row is really impressive. It's amazing. Maybe Tampa gets in one more year coming in the next, 2 to 3 years or something. But this year, I think this is a time for Carolina to get the job done. And I do think these teams are fairly similar. Again, with the top-heavy rosters, just beautiful top-heavy rosters. Insane talent. Defensemen, forwards, centers, coaches are good. Obviously, they know what they're doing. They've been around long enough. They know what they're doing. They've gotten the job done. They have cups. Oh, a cup at least. A cup. Combining the two, there's cups. When you put that together, obviously one is a player, the other is a coach, of course. I think Carolina is going to be the one, though, this year. With that said, Minnesota, competitive. Minnesota, I think we beat the Blues in the first round, because if that's the matchup, the underdog always wins. Minnesota beats the Blues and then runs into Colorado, and we'll be the underdog again. Maybe we pull off some kind of insane miracle and win that again and go to the West Finals. It'd be really, 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 really cool. But I just think this version of Colorado is just too good for the Wild to pull off the upset. That's the way I would look at it, that Colorado would win that in like six or something. Minnesota would make it very interesting with the good coaching, obviously. The good coach, good GM, or you could say great on both of them as well. But maybe I'd be a little too homerish saying that. That's how I see it, though. Minnesota will get to the second round next year, so at least we'll get a step forward. Minnesota will get a step forward, even with a inferior record of 103 points, like I predicted in the article written by Derek Felska. He had the fans voice out our predictions and thoughts going into the season. Do check that out. Very, very, very exciting. It is the last hurrah with Derek Felska with the Sports Daily. We'll talk about more as to where he's heading in the next segment, as Derek Felska often leads things off with the Brave the Wild fan interaction segment. We'll talk about where he's going to. But yeah, it'll be the last hurrah with the Sports Daily. Do check it out. Moving to a different publication, and it should be freaking awesome. So Derek ain't going away. He's just moving to a different publication. At Grease and Assist, we'll live on and keep kicking butt coming out of Western Wisconsin. But of course, he is Minnesota-based. Just happens to work in Western Wisconsin as a teacher and as a defensive line coach. Pretty cool. Defensive line coach for high school there. With that said, we will take a quick break and come back for some fan interaction talk. We are back here on Brave the Wild. Time to look at what you guys have to say in fan interaction. At Brave the Wild, nice and simple, is the Twitter account. Hashtag BTWMN is the hashtag to kind of get everything together, keep it all organized, and thank all of you so much. Thank you, Derek, especially, for organizing these. It is just so appreciated. There's no doubt about that. With that said, please do click on the links or check out the links in the show description. You could get on crypto.com and you could get that started one way or another. $25 will be put in your account. You could start trading cryptocurrency. And with that, of course, it's open and going all the time. Unlike the stock market, where the stock market kind of comes and goes it just kind of comes and goes. Obviously, it starts in the morning around 8:30 and then it's done by 3:30 in the afternoon, where cryptocurrency is going all the time. Even on weekends, even on holidays, it is constantly moving. Pardon me, I'm getting distracted here. Also want to welcome at Hockey Database. Hockey Database, you know, the site that I use on every single show every single show. I'm religious about Hockey Database. They followed Brave the Wild. I'm truly honored, and I can't thank you guys enough. That is, Hockey Database. I mean, I love it. I love what you guys do. I'll give you free plugs for the rest of time. You know, I just love that site. And they've invited me on podcasts, but unfortunately, my stupid schedule is what it is. So really appreciate everything you guys do. Really appreciate that you guys care enough about Brave the Wild to want me on the show and all that, to want me on your show. And, of course, you can also follow the Twitter account for Brave the Wild. It is one of the best hockey sites out there to keep up with prospects and current players and players that died 60 years ago, you know, because, they, you know, they played in the 1910s. I mean, it's just insanely cool. Oh, it is so cool. So the founder, Ralph, is from, yep, he was telling me the founder, Ralph, is from Springfield, Massachusetts. The guy that messaged me was, I think I followed him. Yep, Pete Alper. He's from Montreal. Pretty cool. So nice to hear from somebody from Montreal. Montreal. That is really cool. Really appreciate hearing from you, Peter. Peter Alper, if I'm saying that correctly. And, of course, Ralph, I guess, is the founder of the page from Boston, Massachusetts. Doesn't get much cooler than that. Can't thank you guys enough. Thank you so much for following Brave the Wild. Again, I'm truly honored. You guys are the bomb. No doubt about it. So trying to get things organized here. Yes, here we go. Yes, it really was July 16th, the last episode. And the one before that was an absolute explosion of a show with myself and Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Changing web pages, but keep up with him at Crease and Assist. He'll have the links out every time he releases shows. And he had me a part of Fans Speak for back-to-back years. If I remember, it might be the third year in a row, but at least the second year in a row, where we ask a bunch of questions and he asks questions and we respond. It's a group of us that are veteran hockey fans, podcasters, family members that know a lot of hockey from Derek's world. It's really cool. Really cool. Do check it out. He's shared it. I've shared it. I've retweeted it. Do check it out. And if you don't, you're missing out, honestly. A lot of us are looking forward to this season and the future of this team. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see the way Bill Guerin and co. Maneuver around this whole salary cap situation. But so far, I think they're doing a damn good job, honestly. It's not perfect, but nothing's perfect. Do you think I'd do better? Ha! Yeah, sure. Derek Felska says, as we get closer to the opening of another Minnesota Wild season, do you have a few questions on your mind? Ask Brave the Wild. Just tag it, hashtag BWMN, and ask as many as you wish. And yes, ask as many as you wish. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Derek. He's from Minnesota, but works and lives in Western Wisconsin as a teacher and as a defensive line coach for the high school that he works at. So, defensive line coach, pretty cool. Unfortunately, the Gophers, as of right now, just lost to Purdue. After all this promise, all this excitement of beating Michigan State, we're going to the Rose Bowl, stand and cheer the... Okay, I'm just kidding. Sky Uma, row the boat, go Gophers, and we lost at home to Purdue. Welcome to Minnesota, eh? Welcome to Minnesota. Mike, hey, welcome back. Moco V65. Great to hear from you again. He says, not a question really, more of an insight as the Wild enter the season. Their season will be decided by a few faces and the chemistry that develops. I agree. I agree with that. That's true. Yep. Brian Herrera says, how much growing pains do you see with the D pairing being completely different? Will 25 and 46 play well together for long stretches in the season? Yeah, probably. That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be counted on for sure, and it's going to be one of the best pairings in the NHL probably in terms of just shutdown ability, overall skill. Not spectacular offense, but just shutting people down, and I suppose that's what defenseman was all about until Bobby Orr became the greatest, you know, player ever, basically. Basically, when you put two and two together, it's between him and Gretzky. And, you know, it really is. It's a shame that Orr didn't play longer, but Lemieux missed a billion games as well, unfortunately, with one thing after another, including Hodgkins. Will number five, again, that would be, yeah. Yep, that would be Middleton and Dumba. That's going to be a really interesting pairing. Will Middleton and Dumba No, will Middleton help Dumba keep to his offensive game instead of being the enforcement of the pairing? Yeah, that could be a very interesting. That's a very interesting prospect right there, going forward, because, you know, like Dumba, obviously, he's been stuck at around 25 to 30 points. Like, has he hit his ceiling? He had that 50-point year, looked like he was on pace to 60-something, and then he tore the pectoral in the fight with Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, because that was bouncing around between Matthew and Brady. Brady Tkachuk. It drove me freaking crazy that I couldn't even say those guys right in the last episode. It drove me nuts. But that's the joys of being completely, and I mean completely, solo. So Brady Tkachuk is with Ottawa. Matthew Tkachuk is with Cal. No, he's with someone else. He's with Florida. So that's going to be super interesting. Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk, yep. He's with Cal. No, not anymore. Okay, I'll stop. Again, Dumba had that 50-point season. Again, looked like he was on pace for 60-something. Ever since then, again, he had 22 points in that 32-game season with that stupid, stupid pectoral, of course. And he had played a few games late in the year after that. That's why it's 32. He was on pace for maybe even more. I mean, he was tearing it up, him being Dumba. He already had 12 goals, which is number two. In 32 games, he had 12 goals, which is the second highest of his career. He had 14 in the 50-point season the year before, did Dumba. After that, 24 points. 21 points in last year, up to 27. And he finally got past 6 and got up to 7 in goals and 20 assists. And he only played in 57 games, so actually he was more productive last year. So maybe he's got a 40-point season in him. But it's unfortunate because Dumba, maybe he got more predictable with his release and his shot. He has to get more creative on the release. I don't know, like off-speed pitching, right? No, I'm just kidding. But it's going to be super fascinating to see how that works together. It could help, though. It could help Dumba be a little more of an offensive guy that way. Would a 12-13-10 line make sense? 12-13-10. Again, that would be Boldy. Boldy, Steele, and Jost, right? Boldy, Steele, and Jost? Maybe. Maybe. Unless you meant 23 instead, because I think that line is pretty damn cool, too. Goodrow, it's going to be a debate back and forth where he fits, this and that. Obviously, he was a wonderful fit in Milwaukee with the Admirals, where Dean Evason was the coach there before he became an NHL coach with Minnesota. And of course, again, he was with the Milwaukee Admirals and the Nashville Predators organization with Paul Fenton, and Paul Fenton's vision was to have Dean Evason as head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Yep. And then, well, Bill Guerin said, you know what? Yeah, actually, he is pretty good coaching material. It's kind of funny how that all worked out. But Steele, centering Boldy and Jost, I think so. I think that's a good possibility. But I also think Rossi could be really good as well. Steele, that's interesting. Depends on how you feel about Steele, I suppose. I keep thinking you maybe meant Rossi. That's my guess. But if you did mean Steele, I mean, that's not the dumbest idea either. But Rossi, that could be pretty epic, honestly. Derek Felska jumps in and says, good question. Number 62 doesn't seem to be the answer by what I've seen in the preseason thus far. Okay, I think there's something else here. Yep. Oh, no, he's responding. Yep, Derek is responding directly to Brian Herrera. So this is where I want to make sure I'm doing this right. I can understand the frustration there about guys taking spots. But, yep, that'd be Andre Schuster. Yeah. Yep, Derek isn't all that excited about him, apparently. But where that? Yeah, the defenseman. That's been the defenseman conversation. Again, Derek says, great question. Number 62 doesn't seem to be the answer by what I've seen in the preseason thus far. Yeah, I mean, I think at best he's a seventh defenseman, unfortunately, when it comes to defensemen. So, yeah. I think the pairings are probably going to be the six I was talking about. Yeah, so, yeah, I agree with that. Ty Sandstrom back on board. Cool. He says, I agree with this. Schuster hasn't shown to be better than Addison, Merrill, or Goligoski. Yeah, and I think those three will be in rotation D for D5 through D7. Yep. Brian Herrera responds back. Yep, with find out next. Find out next in the season of the Minnesota Wild. Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be kind of a, you know, it's going to be a wait and see, but I think you're right about the D5 through 7 thing. Schuster, yeah, I mean, he's okay. He's okay. He's like a 7th defenseman. I don't think they're going to cut him or anything crazy like that, but yeah. But Well, he's not going to be here very long. Maybe 1 or 2 years, Schuster. Jay Bushy says, I know it's going to be tough to fill Fiala's 85 points this season. Who or which players do? Boldy, even though Boldy was already here, which is funny. Both the Boldy, Rossi, and Jost, I think. I think it's those three are going to kind of contribute in a sense like Boldy takes the next step. Rossi is a better player than, you know, what might have been there before. And I think Jost takes a step forward as well. That's what I believe. Like, Rossi becomes, obviously, Rossi to me, man, I'm telling you, this is crazy. And I know I saw the look on Isha's face the one time I got to be on the soda pod back after the Rossi draft, right after Rossi was drafted. I'm telling you, in the juniors, he looked like Steve Yzerman. He did. I don't think he's going to be at that level in the NHL necessarily, but I think I don't think he's going to be as far below that as others might believe, like thinking, oh, he's, you know, he'd be lucky to be a 60-point guy. I think there's more to Rossi than just being kind of a middle six center or who might be stuck on the wing. Like every damn center we ever draft, oh, he's going to be on the wing. He's going to be on the wing. Wing, 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 wing. Yeah, he's a center, but no, he's on the wing. And that drives you crazy. I think Rossi will be a wonderful center for the Minnesota Wild for many years to come. We'll see. We'll see. But I think he's going to be a big part of what helps fill in that gap, that 85-point hole that's no longer with Minnesota. Boldy taking the step up. Rossi, you know, obviously becoming a legitimate player in the NHL. And Tyson Jost, I think, takes a step forward. I absolutely believe that. And then other guys like Dehame DeWeer are going to be praying that they can keep their spots because there's going to be some talent coming up. So it's going to be super interesting. Other guys are going to get older. Like Zuccarello's not going to be here forever. He's just not. That's reality. And I've talked about the defensemen in the system forever and ever. So let's move on to the next thread of questions here. Derek Felska asks his first one here, says, how many starts do you think Filip Gustavsson will make for this year for the Minnesota Wild? How many does he need to make? Let me see. How many does he need to make and Marc-Andre to make he and Marc-Andre Fleury an effective goaltending duo? Okay, gotcha. Boy, more than last year, that's for sure, when it comes to Filip Gustavsson. Let me come back here real quick because I want to see the exact amount that he played last year. 18. Yeah, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. I'm thinking along the lines of 25 to 30-ish. I would love to see 35. I would love that. It seems like sometimes we're married to certain players, certain goaltenders. You absolutely cannot do that with Marc-Andre Fleury. Last year, when you combine Minnesota and Chicago, he played 56, him being Marc-Andre Fleury. 56. So that would leave, because obviously it's an 82-game season. I thought I had this up, but that's Joey being Joey there. Yep. So, again, it's fairly simple math, but you want it there. 26. That'd be 26 games if Marc-Andre Fleury was to play 56. I'm hoping for something along the likes of, if you could get to 35, that'd be awesome. Then you keep Marc-Andre Fleury to 47. Then maybe that's not realistic. And obviously 30 would mean 52 for Marc-Andre Fleury. I want 35. I'm scared. I'm scared of Marc-Andre Fleury being in their net too much. You know, like years ago with Pittsburgh, 67. He was young, though. Then Vegas, 61. In 18, he played 46. That's when they went to the final. That's actually pretty good. Yeah, and if you could get Marc-Andre Fleury to anywhere from 47 to 50, I feel a little better. So that's, again, 35 to 32 for Filip Gustavsson. I don't want to see 56, 60 by Marc-Andre Fleury. Even if he's playing spectacular, you still gotta balance this out a little bit. You can't just be like Marc-Andre Fleury. He's the greatest goaltender ever. Yeah, I mean, he's back to being Mr. Venezia guy. You know, 1.5 goals against average. Yeah, right. He's not going to be that good, but 2.2 or something, you know, something great. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to kill him. You know, so that kind of thing. So I'm thinking around, you get the idea. 35 to 30-ish for Mr. Gustafson, the way you keep it. If it reaches 50 for Marc-Andre Fleury, you're hoping it's right about 50. Nothing too far beyond that, because I think overusing Marc-Andre Fleury could mean, you know, the death of the Wild. And if Gustafson stinks, then, well, as a certain old president might say, you might want to make some kind of trade or something at that point. Derek asked another one, and he gets a response as well. Will the Arizona Coyotes sell at every game this season, considering they're playing in a 5,000-seat arena? If not, will that finally convince the NHL to relocate the team to Quebec or Houston? Quebec or Houston? And guess who replied? NHL to Houston, at NHL to Houston, and he hashtagged NHL to Houston. They better sell out a 5,000-seat arena. I would hate to be a fan in something tiny like that, even though there's probably a cool vibe to it. It could provide an interesting environment because it's a small building and all that. It could provide a very interesting environment, but at the same time, it's ridiculous. It's like, it's a bleep show, as some people might say. Are you kidding me? Remember when Gary Bettman laughed at the Civic Center when we're talking about, you know, expansion franchise coming to St. Paul back in the mid-90s? They just kind of laughed at the Civic Center, and then it's like, okay, we have another idea. We'll have an arena right on this spot, but it'll be a new one that's about 20,000. What do you think of that, Gary? And then, yeah, let's go. That type of deal. Houston is obviously a huge, 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 huge market. I personally feel bad that because I loved the name Houston Arrows a lot, I feel bad that they moved away, but, well, at least they're closer to Minnesota with the Iowa Wild. Again, they were our affiliate and all that. I love the name. I love anything involving airplanes. Yeah, I think it's kind of boring when your NHL team and your AHL team have the same name and a very similar color scheme and all that. I think that's boring. I like the Arrows, but Iowa Arrows might be weird. Houston, well, maybe they could call them the Arrows, and I think that would be kind of cool. I'm not going to lie, I like the name Quebec. I would love to see him in Quebec, and I actually like Arizona having a team as well, but maybe they shouldn't. It just feels like they're going to be, it just feels like they're going to, it's going to be kind of shoved down our throats one way or another. But NHL to Houston, I followed them and they followed me back. So thank you, NHL to Houston. Good luck and we'll see what happens. I felt bad for them when they kept getting left out of this idea and that idea. They were sad and frustrated. So I can relate. Obviously here in Minnesota, we were getting really frustrated for a few years. Thought we were going to get the Edmonton Oilers at one point. That quickly faded away. Hartford Whalers were going to come to Minnesota, possibly. Maybe the Target Center. That faded away. I always wondered what that team would have been called. The Winnipeg Jets. There was a strong possibility of coming here. Instead, not only did we lose the Winnipeg Jets to Arizona, we wound up seeing the Coyotes. We wound up seeing our St. Paul Minnesota Moose, who played in the Civic Center, move to Manitoba in Winnipeg, which is funny. It was like, bing, bing, my double middle finger, Minnesota. It was kind of funny. But they were an IHL club. Now they are an AHL club, so kind of cool. IHL was kind of like in the middle somewhere. It's kind of weird. next question. Derek Velska says, on a scale of ET, the extraterrestrial, for the Atari 2600, poor, and Zelda, A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo, excellent. How safe is Minnesota Wild head coach Dean Evason's job? How safe is it? It kind of depends on playoff success, I think, and really the special teams. If you come in this year with crappy, horrible special teams, again, both the penalty kill, like our penalty kill sucked, and our power play sucked. And if we're hearing a lot of that again, which I don't blame him for saying it, but, I mean, well, you know, can we get better? It's a combination of personnel and coaching, this and that. Coaching can be that with personnel as well. It's going to have to be better. So let's say it's somewhere along the likes of, let's see. Oh, I wish I had an idea with a possible game here. Something like, depending on how you feel, I guess. I don't know, like Mickey Mouse Capade, like kind of in the middle. Kind of fun. Like I'd say he's a good coach. Like Mickey Mouse Capade is kind of a fun game, but it's short and kind of simple. And, you know, some of the levels take like a minute. Like the pirate ship is like 1 minute. It's like, okay, that wasn't real interesting. And then the castle can be just annoying and stupid when the crow comes and pulls Minnie away and you got to look for her instead of trying to beat the game. So it would be something like that. The game has a lot of sentimental value for me because it goes back to about 1989 for me. So that's why I would put Dean Evason slightly above average in terms of his job safety, because you never know with Bill Guerin at times. But again, it'll be above the middle per se. Something like Mickey Mouse Capade, I guess, is what I could come up with. Or if I want to go a little more positive, 1943, The Battle of Midway. Awesome game, but too hard. So it can't be a great game because it's too hard. But awesome sentimental value for that one. Next, was there a response? Was there? No. Next one, yep, Derek again. It's the Derek Felskill lightning round. He says, is the Minnesota Wild making a poor game ops mistake by sticking with Shout as the team's goal scoring song? Galicia Townsell, and she followed back, which is awesome, says, I don't mind the song, but it's not fit to be a hockey type song. Would want something involving more heavy metal to fit into the Wild team theme. We aren't at a concert. Yep, so it's like, don't take it too seriously. I kind of like it. I don't know. I kind of like it. The Prince one was kind of fun, but I don't know. That seems more like, he was more of a Timberwolves guy than a hockey guy, though, wasn't he? And obviously the Timberwolves had their Prince jerseys and everything that everybody loved, like Derrick Rose's Prince jersey. People just worship that thing. That's a little overrated, but just a little bit, but especially Derrick Rose, a little overrated, but once he wasn't in his prime with the Bulls anymore, not as good. I don't know. Welcome to Paradise? What do you think of that one? If you want to bring in rock and roll, that was not, it's not like heavy metal, but it's rock and roll. Welcome to Paradise, when you score a goal. Is that okay? That's Green Day, of course, about 94. KFan Girl says, or KFAN Girl says, Jody Halvey says, personally, I love it. Derek responds with, I only shout to ask the Minnesota Wild game ops to shut it off. Ooh, so Derek is sick of it, yeah. It's an oldie, but a goodie. I actually thought the song was older than it is. It's from like the mid-70s. I thought it was from like the 60s, but or even the 50s, but because it sounds older. And I don't mean that as an insult. I love retro. I love the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Yes, when it comes to anything like music or even like, you know, just stuff. I don't know. Not everything about every decade, but a lot. 2000s is when things started to, you know, like the bleep turd was rolling down the hill, that kind of thing, as far as I'm concerned with a lot of things. Next, KFAN Girl responds with Derek saying, it seems like whatever they choose, a significant amount of people are going to hate it no matter what it is, so does it really matter? Yeah, exactly. If I were to just randomly gun to my head, I'll just think of something real quick, like what the hell, see what happens, throw a dart in the dark. Green Day. Yeah. Green Day's Welcome to Paradise. What do you think of that? Maybe there'll be a response there. Derek continues, says, what player do you think has been a pleasant surprise in the Wild training camp and preseason play thus far? Which player is disappointed the most? Tyson Jones is the biggest surprise. See, Rossi, you thought coming in, sorry for the stupid freaking chair, I need to replace it. Tyson Jones, because you're hoping he's going to take that next step, but there was no real, pure, true indicator that he would do that. Rossi, you know, I mean, he was the leading scorer for the Iowa Wild. He was extremely highly touted. In the juniors, he looked like I said, he looked like Steve Yzerman out there. Again, it's juniors, but he looked like, you know, he looked like an absolute stud and a guy that could really make everything look easy and be freaking awesome for the Wild for many years. Whereas Tyson Jost didn't show really anything last year, as far as I was concerned. I was actually kind of like, about Tyson Jost. So Tyson Jost is the most surprising. Biggest disappointment so far in the preseason is, it's Jesper Wallstedt. Wallstedt. No, it's not. I'm teasing. Probably Hartman. You're not seeing a whole lot again. Come on, Hartman. This is time. It's go time, Hartman. Let's go. He's not, like I said, he's super young, like earlier, super young and everything. But you're hoping for a little bit more production. Luckily, there's still time left because the season starts on October 13th, so we got like a ton more preseason games to come. So maybe we'll see more and more out of Hartman, and I can just shut my big yap right now. There's even a game tonight, which I'm really looking forward to. I wouldn't mind recording it at that time, but figured I'd get it done now because the weather's kind of funky right now. It's kind of, it's a great time to record when the weather's funky versus beautiful. So we'll see if Hartman steps up since, but at this point, that he's the guy that's kind of, come on, man, come on. I just want to see more. I mean, you know it's there, but will it ever translate? Will it? Oof. So, yeah, that's a really good question, of course, and thank you. I always love those kind of questions, actually. Here we go. This is a cool one. Derek, once again, says, prospect Danila Yurov's KHL team. Oh, boy. Magnitogorsk. I probably screwed up completely. Seems to be giving him the Merit Khuznadinov treatment. What odds would you give that he gives in and signs a short-term extension to get more playing time? One of those? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I hope not, but I hate that kind of stuff. It's so dumb. But, well, if he comes ready to rock and roll, a la Kirill Kaprizov, that went too long, and that's why he was basically an instant superstar. Plug and play, like, superstar player. Okay, like a year and a half, but yeah. Like, I mean, it took about a half a year or so for him to get to that point, but still. Sometimes it's better than, I guess, having him struggle to, you know, and how this franchise sometimes, like Hoppy would say on Soda Pod, like throwing guys in the fourth line and letting them rot there, like, what the heck was his name now? I'm already forgetting the guy's name that we traded for Charlie Coyle. But, of course, Ryan Donato. Yep, obviously, you know, a lot of guys really like Ryan Donato. Not sure how much skill he brings to an NHL team, but why am I going off on that? But, you don't want the young guys rotting in the bottom six forever, and then next thing you know, like, yeah, we just give up on him, and he's on somebody else. And, I don't know. But Ryan Donato might be a little bit more of a trend than a mirage when it comes to a guy that goes to the bottom six rather than, like, not deserving to be there. We'll see. We'll see, though. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if that's exactly what's going to happen. He is super-duper young. That's the positive of it, as annoying as that is. Because, yeah, I mean, he is. He just turned 18. Well, no, he's turning 19 on December 22nd, him being Danila Yurov. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. I'm really looking forward to him. I really, really, really am looking forward to him. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to be coming to the NHL super soon. But hopefully it's short and it's not like, you know, he's stuck there for 4 years like Kaprizov, because that was ridiculous. Freaking annoying. It was like 5 years, felt like 20 years. Next question here. Okay, Kalisha Townsell says, yeah, but thank you, Derek, for sharing it. Kalisha says, I believe we'll be fine between the pipes if Gustavsson shows to be better than Kakinen, Kemper, and Stalock. Well, I hope so. Once he does, then Flower won't have to play a lot. Think of a 55-40. There you go. 45 split. Okay, that's percentage. Yep, 55-45 split, which is needed for a 38-year-old in Flower to keep him fresh, or will Gus become another Matt Murray? Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. You mean like being a spectacular savior in the end that comes up and, you know, helps us win a Stanley Cup, right? Matt Murray, after that, not as great, but that 1 year, he was really something. He's the one. He's actually the one that knocked the Flower away from Pittsburgh, if you can believe it. But again, obviously, wonderful, wonderful run with the Vegas Golden Knights for the Flower, as they say. Kakinen, I truly believe Kaapo Kakinen is underrated. Kemper was super disappointing, and then eventually, you know, got a chance with the Kings in Arizona to finally come through. Stalock, obviously, just limited. Just a limited guy. He's got limited skill, small body, and this and that. And every time he makes a good save, it looks like the save of the century. But he had to do a lot more to get there because the smaller body, this and that. That's where the larger goalies have become much more of a thing over the years. Kakinen, though, I think he's underrated. We'll see what he does in San Jose this year. He's going to get a lot of time between the pipes this year, Kakinen, with the Sharks. He's either going to start or platoon there, I believe. So it's going to be super interesting how that plays out. I think it's Reiner, right? Over there. So, Reiner. But, yep, that's what I was thinking. Around that 47 game, 47 to 35 type of thing, that'd be good, I think. 47 games for the Flower, or maybe Gustafsson shocks the world. We'll see. But so far, that hasn't happened. Was there any response? No. But, yeah, that's a good question. Thank you, Kalisha. Hope you're listening. I know it just kind of came around, but she's been a Wild fan for years. Derek was asking any questions. Oh, and Kalisha responded as well. Good. This is good. She says, yes, I got one right now. Who gets traded first, Jost, Dumba, or Greenway? I suspect at some point this season, either these three will be traded for cap space, or Garen might make another trade, or is preparing to have as much cap as possible to extend Kirill. Yep. And also, you got to think about extending Boldy as well. Boldy's due for at least a bridge contract, if not something crazy. So it'll probably be more of a bridge, but still a raise. So the immediate guy that needs to be extended is Boldy, unfortunately. But yeah, great question. As for somebody being traded first, Dumba, because it's immediate. I'd say Dumba because it's immediate, but again, Greenway, I don't think he's long for the team either. I think there's a guy they want to make room, but Dumba, it's got to be Dumba because there is so much going on in the grapevine for Minnesota at the defenseman position. And again, the two guys that are signed for a really long time you're not going to trade ever are Spurgeon and Brodin. I mean, maybe anything could happen. Maybe one of them does get traded someday, but that would be quite a shocker in my opinion. Jost, I think he stays. He's inexpensive unless we feel like maybe he gets his price too high. But I can't imagine it's going to get too high just yet. It'll be more of a small bridge deal for Tyson Jost going forward at this stage. Where is the stinking cap thing? Here we go. Yeah, because he is. Yeah, but unfortunately, he's eligible again. Arbitration eligible. So we'll see how far that would go. We'll see. He hasn't done enough, I don't think, to garner like some $6 million a year deal. So, and if he feels that way, him and his agent play hardball, then yeah, he's gone. And that would be a bummer. But that's life, I guess, in the city, as they say. Great question. Thank you, Kalisha. Next, Brian Herrera returns and love hearing from him. Oh, no, that was the one we already read and talked about. It's like the way it's organized. Apologize. Yep, they got the concert one already. Interesting picture there. That was an ad, though. Derek says, Tyson Jost has been, there you go. Tyson Jost has been the hothead in the preseason so far with 2 goals and 3 helpers in 2 games. Is this a sign that he may have a breakout year, or is that a Charlie Coyle-style preseason tease? Oh, hands folded and praying that he is going to take that next step. It's a different coaching staff. And basically, if Tyson Jost doesn't produce, he's going to be gone one way or another. So I'm hoping and praying that this is the real thing. I don't think he'll be that good, obviously. But he'll be... I do hope that something is coming. Yep. Oh, good response by K-Fan Girl. She says, no one is as big a tease as Charlie Coyle besides Joe Baby Jesus Maurer. Yeah, remember that? Oh, 2009 season, you look like the best player in the world. And right after that, mediocre. Mediocre with a smile. Yes. A very gentle guy was Joe Maurer. But, you know, he could be your best friend. But at the same time, you're $185 million. No. I'm just kidding. That'd be like signing Charlie Coyle for $9 million a year for 5 years. You'd be like, oh my God. Okay, it wouldn't be quite that bad. But next, Mike says, okay, he already said that one. Yep, thank you, Derek, though, for that for sure. Looks like that's it. Not like a bajillion questions, but really appreciate it. Would like to hear from some of you that I've been missing lately, which is unfortunate. Hope to hear from Tom Hayen and such. Always love hearing from Jay Bushy. Yep, nice to hear from Kalisha multiple times. Really cool. Derek, you are the blood of the show along with Brian Herrera. Love you guys. Mike, obviously great to hear from you as well. I think he's following. Yes. Okay, with that said, again, it's at least there's something to look forward to here. It's not like, oh boy, the cap problem. It's going to be a disaster. We're going to be like in the bottom of the NHL for 5 years. No chance. This is definitely a playoff team. A cup contender, probably not, but you just never know with young guys. Maybe they'll explode. Maybe there really is something magical going to happen. And it does look like Ryan Hartman is for real, at least according to most people. Most indicators would tell you that Ryan Hartman is for real. So that's definitely something to smile about and feel good going forward. Goaltending situation is what it is, but Jesper Wallstedt is somebody to very much look forward to going forward in the next year or year and a half, 2 years. You got something very special there because it's there. The talent is there. It is plain as day. And, well, he already won a preseason game, 5-2, so he had nothing to do with the five necessarily, but shutting down the other team enough and getting the job done, making the saves he had to win the game. Awesome. Before we wrap things up, let's get to some contact details. We wouldn't mind hearing from some of you calling into the show. Would be pretty cool. All you got to do is pick up your smartphone, smart device, smartphone, and open any free voice recording app you might have, because, you know, they're not going to charge you for that. Open it up, pretend to, pretend it's a phone call, basically. You press record, pretend it's like a phone call. You can even use an audio software on your laptop or desktop or whatever type of computer you have, whatever you want to do. Basically, treat it like a phone call or a conversation, whatever, 2 to 5 minutes. Heck, if you really have a lot to say, you can go beyond that. No one's going to get mad at you. And then you send it to PaladinoLive@yahoo.com, PaladinoLive@yahoo.com. It is in the show description for any type of purpose you may have, copy and paste or whatever, just click link or whatever. And there you go. That's where you send it to. And then I convert it into an MP3 file thanks to Zumzar.com. I'll give them a free plug because they give me a free service for this show because the file's nice and small usually. If you need to convert very large files, you can sign up for a subscription with them. Otherwise, you can convert files for free if they're small. Zumzar with a Z. Awesome, awesome app and website for, well, any computer that's out there. Would love to hear from you. Very much so. Please do write a positive rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, just does star ratings, and I believe Audible also does reviews as well. Please write a positive review for Brave the Wild. It would really help this show. It's been a while since the last one, and I'm kind of sad. So if you could help out, I'd greatly appreciate it. It makes the show more attractive to potential listeners. With that said, wishing all of you a nice couple of weeks here, because next time we get on the air, we'll be talking about regular season hockey for the Minnesota Wild. Hopefully the positivity continues and things head in a more positive direction as we move forward. Until then, take care and go wild.